your roses in bloom. A light hits the gloom on the gray.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Roses and Brosifs. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, no matter where you are. We have just finished with Bachelor in Paradise season six, episode three and episode four. And if I'd kept talking, y'all would have believed me that it was season three. So this is the guys choose part one, and then we switch the power to the ladies. So Wyatt, now that we are into the second week of airing, what are your thoughts on these updates with the couples, quote unquote?
With the updates, I mean, we're going to discuss that later, but I would have to say that we're seeing a little more character dynamic.
Yes.
And personally, I believe like we're figuring out more and more little things about how everybody is.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's little insecurities are already coming out.
Yeah.
And it's very early on. Cool. Well, I think that that is...
You could say overflowing.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that is a good insight, and that's very accurate. So we will talk about brief Bachelor news. As y'all know, Blake uploaded some texts from him and he and Kaylin's real exchange, and it definitely added more sides to the story. And then he ended up having to delete them because people were going after Kaylin. And I'm just like, why do people waste their time doing this? Like, don't y'all have jobs or like, don't y'all have to go work out or anything? You're just going to this woman's Instagram.
No, people don't have like things to do. That's why they're.
You know what? You're right. I give people too much benefit of the doubt. Other than that,
I'd hope for people to have better things to do than like go bother people, but
they don't.
Some people don't.
Some don't,
and it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, Ashley and Jared got married, so congratulations to them.
Who's that?
Ashley is from Chris Soules' season. He was a farmer, and I think he was from Idaho or something.
Okay.
And she was known for being like an adopted Kardashian. She thought she was a Kardashian. She cried a lot, and then she went on Bachelor in Paradise like twice, and then Winter Games. And she was obsessed with Jared, who she got married to. And I think she grew a lot over the course of the show. Like, she has her own podcast with Ben, who was formerly The Bachelor. So she's one of the few, like Caitlin Bristow, who have like really turned this show into like actual success instead of just like being an obscure name like Chris Bukowski. So Ashley's done really well. And then Jared, of course, took a long time to like, I don't know, unfriend zone her. That's okay. A whole thing. But yeah, they got married. So that's good for them.
Good for them.
Really happy for Ashley. And yeah, so when we just get back to the show, it's like, what is going on? Things are getting out of control. The intro is the exact same since no one has really gone home yet, but they're starting off with the rose ceremony, so we'll find out who does. And
yeah.
Who out of the girls did you think was going to go home before we found out who would go home?
Jan.
Jan is 1 + 1 = 2. Jane.
Sorry, Jane. Jane.
I'm so glad. Okay, so that was not surprising. Anyone else?
What's her face? Mother Hen.
Annalise.
Yeah, I thought she was going to shack up with older Chris there.
Mm-hmm.
She had them crazy eyes, and I think Chris saw right through that, too. I think... Yeah, Jane. So I knew that she was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that she was going to go. I didn't really know who else was going to go for the most part. I thought, what was her name? Annalise?
Yes.
She might have staying power, but she's got the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
She's being a mother hen. She's all getting up in other people's business.
She legit went from being on until like the final fucking episode to going home night one. How the mighty have fallen.
Well, I mean.
That's what happens when you butt in other people's business.
Yeah.
Okay. So those were my two predictions also. And then the third was always a wild card. So We will get into that very shortly because these are the names of who stays. So Derek goes first, and we know he's picking...
Demi.
That's correct. Who he admits is a lot more playful and fun, and we're like, well, yeah, your ex was a therapist. It's just there's going to be some night and day there. Clay picks Nicole, and Wills picks Katie. Kevin picks Sydney. JPJ. Hearing Chris Harrison say JPJ sounds like when Siri says abbreviated words, and it's really awkward. She's like, you are at H-I-B. Like, that's what it sounded like when he said, he's like, JPJ. He chooses Onyeka. He's done throwing up from the tacos now, and Jane is just like, she's punching the air. Cam goes and he picks Kaylin. His palm tree shirt is notably egregious. Dylan picks Hannah. No surprise there.
No surprise.
Blake is bummed and supposedly wanted to give his rose to Hannah. He gives it to Tayshia, which is a surprise because she's like done with him. But at the same time, we all know she wants to stay and nobody's mad at her for it.
Yeah.
Chris,
it's very understandable.
It's very understandable. Chris Bukowski is giving out the final rose and we're like, everyone forgot he was still there. They were like, oh, wait, there's still one more rose.
Yeah.
Chris, he picks Christina, of course, but that she's the most popular of all the girls left by far. So Annalise goes home. Her eye twitches, and she rolls her eyes in disbelief. Everyone pretends to be sad about them going home. Even Nicole is like, oh. Bibiana goes home because she didn't make any connections with anybody. And Jane.
I forgot about her.
I forgot, yeah. And then Jane goes home. So... I'm going to bet, you know what, right now, out of those three, that at least one of them will be back for next season's Paradise. I'm going to put my money on it right now.
Who?
Oh.
On which one of those three?
Well, okay, statistics is in my favor there, but if I'm to get specific, it lowers my odds. However, I don't mind getting specific, so I really legit think... Okay. I think Bibiana would learn a lesson from this, so she's out. So that is between Jane and Annalise. It's very hard to pick who would come back between the two of them, but I think it would be Annalise.
Yeah, I think she wants to stay in the limelight.
Sure.
Like, it's... I mean, because what I learned or whatever about how she was, like, literally broken up on live television, and then, like, a year later she's back on the show. It's like,
yeah,
that doesn't seem like... very mentally healthy.
Be unproblematic like John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones has set an example for everyone on this beach, and that is to not be problematic. So every guy at this rose ceremony has on the same shirt, and I realize, oh my God, did the same brands reach out to these guys and send them the same shirts in the mail before they came on this trip? And the answer is definitely yes. It's got to be really embarrassing when they go home early and then the brand is like, well, I mean, we can't really pay you for advertising the clothes because you went home night one. So if you could send those back, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah.
This show reminds me very much of that episode Nosedive in Black Mirror because all these people's ratings, they transfer into real life. They go home on this show and then they get on that plane, they get their phone handed back to them and they see like, the decline in numbers and the hate comments and the laughs at them and stuff. It is so brutally crazy to think about.
That's that life.
That's that life, though. It just got super existential for me. I'm all
freaking out.
I know. I'm freaking out for these people. I don't even know them. So, yeah, that's probably what happens when they go home early, all that shit. So Bibiana is in the car and she drops this golden quote. She's like, maybe if I would have hooked up with Blake, I would still be here.
Which was a good burn.
That was a good burn. Blake still thinks there's something between him and Hannah. We know that's delusional. We go to commercial. We come back. We get a debrief of who the quote-unquote couples are. So it's Cam and Kaylin. Demi and Derek, Clay and Nicole, Chris and Christina. And then Demi says, Chris saved us from Annalise by giving his rose to Christina. That's funny. Hannah is in a love triangle with Dylan and Blake.
Yes.
And Onyeka asks Blake how he feels about losing power. I'm like, babe, who put him on this power pedestal. I just don't.
It was made up.
It's very fabricated.
Super made up.
So Jordan Kimball arrives wearing another palm print shirt, and Chris Harrison reminds him of his breakup with Jenna, his ex-fiance. Wyatt, this is your first actual introduction of Jordan, and what are you thinking so far?
So far, he just looks like this, like, clean-cut guy, but he has this kind of nervous tick to him. He's just, like, almost like he's, like, about to jump out of a plane or something. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's very adrenalinated, like, but, yeah. Oh, that was probably not a word, but he also overcompensates a lot.
That he does, too, yeah. And then we soon learn later what he's all about.
Yeah, we do. Nicole and Hannah are into him, and Dylan is losing his shit again. If we took a shot for every time Dylan was disappointed in an episode, we'd be wasted.
Yeah, he...
by the end.
He's always having an existential crisis of just being like, what the fuck?
Everybody hurts.
Everybody is better than me.
Everybody cries. That's him.
Yeah.
Jordan talks to Hannah about being a model, tells her she's cuter than he imagined, and I'm like... why do a lot of these bachelor guys think negging is still a successful tactic? Oh, yeah, because Hannah falls for it and tries to win his approval. So it's going to work as long as people fall for this negging.
Yeah, she just has
and that. Guys aren't the only people who do it. Women neg other women. So don't even get me. Don't get started. Like, I know everyone does it. It's annoying.
Yeah, she has a really just blank, vapid stare of, like, anything that you just merely suggest, and then she'll just, like, go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, God, like...
yeah, but some people are into that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good for them.
I don't know. So the other girls think that Hannah is lucky just because all the guys are flocking to her, and I don't necessarily think... it means anything specific other than she just falls into, like, one of the most broad standards of beauty. Like, most of those guys, like, if you could just give them little flashcards, like, subjectively, they just pick her. It's not really that deep. Like, I don't know why they kind of let it get to them. I think that they should be like Tayshia. Like, Tayshia has the right energy about this because she knows she's different from all of those women, and she plays it up so well. She's like, these girls can't pull off what I can pull off, and, like, you see that in Tayshia, so you know it's possible. But, like, everyone else just lets, like, Hannah's popularity get to them, and really they should just worry about being their own type of popular if they care about that. Yeah, I don't know,
some people want that, like, Barbie doll blank stare type girl.
Yeah, they think it's, like, the only standard of beauty. And she is beautiful. It's just like, it's just kind of like giving them the other girls the benefit of the doubt. It's like, ah, come on, you don't have to feel like this.
Yeah.
So Jordan pulls Nicole aside. Clay does not feel threatened by Jordan. Jordan is getting, like, all of the tea on what Blake has been doing. Every girl is like, oh yeah, Blake, he did this.
Mm-hmm.
With these people, and Blake thinks that he can control Hannah as Jordan pulls her aside for a date or to propose a date. Dylan says that the guys are incessantly going after Hannah, and it's like, well, I mean, she's entertaining them back. It'd be so different if she was like, oh no, I'm with Dylan, but she's here trying to make the most out of her experience.
Yeah,
and he's sure. Not because he got caught up on the first hour, not even like the first day, like the first few hours being there.
Yeah. No, it's kind of hilarious and, like, how she's just like, oh, I'm with Dylan, I really like Dylan, and then, like, she goes on these dates with the guys and just plays makes out with them and stuff like that, and just cause like they just go in for a move.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, oh, okay, and just, like, feels like she has to reciprocate.
So this is the problem with the show now. It adds to the entertainment in some way, but what we have in this day and age is people are able to develop crushes over these quote-unquote icons and public figures before they meet them. And that is it did not used to be like this when the show started. And I think that it was a lot more interesting in that you got to see people like have to actually get the courage to talk to someone instead of running into them again, because they DM'd each other and it took 2 seconds to set up a flight. Like, yeah. This is whole new territory, and it's changing the structure of the show to where people are acting in week 2 like they do in week like 4 of the show. It's getting really strange. Okay, so yeah, Hannah is entertaining the attention. I don't blame her. Dylan can't even mention the word competition. Like, he doesn't want to call it what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because he can't handle
it. He is terrified.
He's wussing out. So she surprises me by saying yes to the date. And Jordan is definitely a fast talker. Christina feels sorry for Dylan and Blake because of Hannah. And I'm like, nobody should be feeling sorry for anybody. And then she realizes that she does not want to be on the struggle bus dating 3 people at once.
Yeah, Jordan, you say he's a fast talker, and I completely agree. He's like a hard, like, sale guy. He is, like, talking so fast, and like, and he's, like, asking if you're agreeing with him. By the time he's done with it, well, you're going, what the fuck is this guy trying to pull on me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
trying to rack in numbers at the dealership by just, like, getting people in to sign up. No matter what.
Yeah, he's just that fast, like, car salesman talk.
He doesn't give room for no for an answer. It's just like, oh, so when are you going to sign up? Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That shit's annoying as fuck.
It's very annoying. So then Christina, she doesn't want to be dating 3 people at once. One of the people, she said, is a terrible person, but she's still trying to date him. So Jordan has to pick someone else, and he pulls Blake aside to see who he has not been with. That might be easier than trying to where's Waldo all the girls that he has been with. Let's just go to the source. Jordan eventually then says, quote unquote, this is my beach. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know you owned this property in Nayarit, Mexico, that the show uses to film Paradise.
Yeah, they say he's like the mayor of Paradise.
He said he was the mayor of Paradise. And I'm like, why would you want to be the mayor? Like, why wouldn't you want to be the president or something? I don't know, whatever.
Or the dictator.
He's the gossip girl of Paradise. That's who he is.
He really is.
He's the queen snitch.
Oh, yeah. We find out that a little bit later, too.
He's there for all of 27 minutes, and he tells Blake to get his shit together.
Yeah.
Blake's just like, what? Oh, okay, sure, why not? So Chris Harrison knows that Jordan is here. The pot is going to be stirred adequately for this jambalaya, and he knows that he can go snorkeling in the ocean while Jordan takes over.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be enjoying some margaritas as well, like getting a Thai massage.
So Hannah tells Dylan that she's not going on the date, and he is cheesing way too hard. He looks like Jack Black. Like, he looks like he could be Jack Black's son.
Yes.
Like, his amoeba son. Like, his little clone. It's crazy. Wyatt, you are for the idea of there being a parents' night on Paradise.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Like, give the parents, like, you know, their little, some little cabins, whatever. And then there's just, like, a fucking party. And everybody gets fucking hammered.
And some of the parents are going to be divorced, so they're going to be hooking up with each other. And the kids are
divorced. Yeah.
Or they're going to swing.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, maybe some parents have, like, some, like, loud-ass sex, and it's just, like, tents and shit there.
Maybe so.
John Paul Jones is sleeping in open air.
John Paul Jones probably hear everything. Doesn't even sleep. Actually, his bed is in open air. He probably doesn't even sleep in it. He probably just sleeps in the sand.
Probably.
So Hannah shows it in her face that she's not having this. And when Dylan can't see her eyes, she's just making this very disappointed face that was memed all over Instagram earlier. And she feels trapped. And I'm like, well, I mean, you did this to yourself.
Yeah.
So Jordan thinks that he's going to pull Nicole away from Clay. And Nicole is flattered by this attention. Clay's not going to be happy. She hopes that this makes Clay realize she is a hot commodity.
Yeah.
Why can't you just prove that, you know what, I don't...
Yeah, she's literally creating a value for herself, so therefore, like she's trying to create competition.
She's
for
associating
her.
Value with how much competition there is, and that's so sad. Oh.
Yeah, it's really disturbing.
Mm-hmm. So she's going after the jealousy aspect, and she tells Clay bye, she'll be back. Clay makes another this is the first football analogy he makes, but every single football player they've had on the show, Tyler in fucking included, always had to make football analogies when it came to love.
Yeah.
Kill me. I can't stop. So we go to commercial. And you know what? They show that Where'd You Go, Burn It At trailer. And I like the fact that when we went to the movies the other day, the girls next to us were like, that movie looks stupid. It reminds me.
Is that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's a film for people who like think tax evasion and money laundering are cute and fun hobbies. Like, and they died in Dash, but they have money. Like, that's what this movie reminds me of. She's literally evading a crime she committed.
That's like middle class white people crime.
Middle class white crime is like destroying begonias and a trellis. I totally agree. So that's the end of the commercial after that trailer. Nicole is going on the one-on-one with Jordan. She is ultimately just really starstruck by him. I don't think she does not like him. She's just very in awe of him.
Yeah.
So they have Jorge, the former bartender from the other Bachelor in Paradise seasons, and they're promoting his tour company. And oh my God, I told Wyatt this. He looks 30 years younger than when he was first on the show bartending. So it looks like his business is doing well, and I'm really happy for him. Oh, that was a hard J in there, Jorge. So Jorge takes Nicole and Jordan. That's why I did that. Jordan. Jorge, Jordan. That's hard. Jordan to the place.
Jordan.
Jordan. Jorge. Jorge takes Nicole and Jordan to the place where he lost his virginity.
Yeah, that was an interesting
tour that was so spot. Weird. It would have been like, you could still see the toe marks on the ground. Oh no.
I just wish they just hung on him, like just like staring at them. Like, and he's just like sitting there like staring. Just
the camera
staring
pans
at
down
them.
For like 2 seconds and he's just staring at them and they're like
yeah, and just smiling like
awkwardly. Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty majestic spot, so it's not bad.
Good on Jorge.
Good on Jorge. I'm proud of him. That was nice.
That was a nice spot to lose your virginity.
Yes, sir. So Nicole and Jordan pop some champagne and they take some mushrooms. And just kidding. Nicole is surprised that Jordan is a normal guy, quote unquote. All these people are surprised that people are more intelligent than they seem on TV. Isn't that weird?
Well, I mean, because TV is manipulating what they see.
Oh, that's also very true. You're right. Jordan uses this time to spill the tea on his last season as if like Nicole was doing his nails or his pedicure or something. He's like, and then Becca did this and Garrett did that and Blake did this and Clay did this and Colton did that. Like, he goes ape shit just like telling her all this tea. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's a talker. Yeah. He's up front with Nicole about her date with Clay, wants to know how that was. She says she's open and then brings up Blake to Jordan again, and they both just bond over Blake being kind of just making mistakes. Jordan compares the situation to an onion, which I feel like he might have done before. Shrek did it first in 2002. Hold on, let's see when Shrek came out real quick, because this is important, guys. Shrek came out in 2001. I have failed you all, but he compares the situation to an onion while the girls are talking about Blake. Blake injures his foot on a rock, and I'm like, was there some voodoo going on here? I'm just kidding.
Oh, he's crying.
He's crying. He's like, soft. Blake is a sad boy. Possibly in an effort to go home, but I'm not sure he would convict that much. And Demi's like, I'm trying to pretend like I care. Like that laugh that she does.
Yeah.
We go to commercial. Cam is very caught up in his crush on Kaylin, like hopelessly.
Oh God, man, that
it's
that
so
dude
pathetic.
Is just so pathetic.
Reminds me of in high school when girls would just like mooch off of guys just for whatever reason and just like lead them on, be like, yeah. And like write notes to other people. Just like that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, was that whenever he starts like, what's he doing?
Oh, he writes her this really weird thing. Like, he's like promising all these things to her, and yeah. He's like, "Your beauty struck me in the way your jalapeno salt limarita was on my lips," and I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, it's really bad.
He thinks he could be proposing to her at the end of this, and I'm like, how delusional can you be, sir? I don't understand. So,
well, it was very disturbing when I take that back. It was very worrisome whenever he said, "I was born to be a husband, I was born to be a father."
So the fact that he said that, and he's so young. He hasn't even had time to, like,
how old is he?
Make mistakes. You know what? Either way, even if he's, like, your age, he's still pretty young, but his emotional intelligence. Let's see here.
I'm going to say 27.
This is great because we don't have, like, a tech producer, so we got to Google this ourselves.
27.
30.
Like, even not only that, but I just don't agree that somebody's born to be something. It's especially a husband. I mean, you have to like fall in love with somebody and like have relationships with somebody before their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and if you're a piece of shit or like an asshole, like hopefully that relationship does not continue and you don't become a husband to that person because you're a terrible person, but at the same time, like, you're not born to be something. Like,
no.
You gotta earn it.
I mean, even if you love someone, there's a lot of sacrifices you both make in your time and getting to know each other and just making sure it's right for both of you. Like, if it happened overnight, none of those people would be on this show. Mm-hmm. So he thinks it's like, I don't know, he has this entitlement about him that's, like, getting to him.
Yeah,
and it's breaking him down.
It's unattractive.
It's very unattractive. Yeah, the girls are seeing it and they're like, ew.
Yeah.
Which is why Caitlyn's face, like, she's just, I don't even think this is editing. She's literally grossed out while Cam reads her this poem. And it's funny because JPJ reads a poem later. We'll get to that. Let's just say the reactions are contrast. So she sips her green juice to kind of like stifle a laugh. She's trying not to just lose her shit at this moment. Hannah and Dylan are giggling about this in the background. And Caitlin is just thinking in her head, like, I'm going to have to get a restraining order on this guy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to wear your skin for a suit if you're not careful.
If you're not careful, yes.
He's going to dance around with your like head on a stick.
Mm-hmm. That was a fire around. And so Mike shows up in a bright pink Mean Girls Wednesday shirt. And in perfect timing, he pulls aside Caitlin after that lovely poem that Cam vomited to her.
He should have wrapped it.
So after we find out all the girls have been digging Mike, he pulls some of the girls aside. And Onyeka brings up the big mic reference, and we're like, chicken and egg. Was this before Mental All? I don't know. Confused. So the girls are closely watching his every move. Again, Mike pulls Caitlin aside, then Onyeka, but he ultimately asks Caitlin on the date. And Cam is like super red and bummed out, and he just walks off to cry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he also went to like go tell everybody about like what Mike did to him on the season.
On Hannah B's season. Oh yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, he's like, everybody's like, he told Hannah that I just wanted a pity rose. Like, he already started just like down like give negative comments towards Mike to everybody, like,
yeah.
Mere
leave the dirt in the trash can, Cam. Seriously.
Yeah.
Just leave it in there. It's already bagged up. It's ready to be taken outside. Shit.
Yeah. It's your business, but it's nobody else's. Why does everybody else have to know?
Exactly. I don't know. But yeah, Onyeka expected Mike to fall for her. She goes and has a breakdown. Cam is so desperate for an engagement, he cries, just breaking down at the idea of it. And then between the commercial, Mike and Caitlin's date happens. Cam whines. Mike tries to spit these corny lines. I don't know if I ever verbally affirmed Mike in the last season, but I'm formally rescinding that because he is Oogie. And if you guys don't know what Oogie is, it's just cringy. Like, these lines are so recycled and so rehearsed. I've heard so many of these guys repeat the exact same things they said on Bachelorette seasons and or previous Bachelor in Paradise seasons. So he just like tries too hard right off the bat. He's like, I can make your world, and like, or just all these things that are just too much.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, like, he came in and just like instantly was like, grab this girl, start hitting on her, and like just stir the pot to make like shit happen.
Yeah,
and see if any chains are weak. And
yeah, he's trying too hard to boost self-esteem. He's trying to test it out to see who's like weak enough to really, really fall for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see right through it, bro.
And he picked a good one.
He did. He picked the one who would do that. So Mike wants to find love and not just have fun. His heart is on his sleeve so loosely, it basically keeps falling in the sand and getting all dirty. Cam is dilated pupil sobbing at this point. He wants marriage and a family almost more than Annalise does, and he feels like the only place he can find it is on this show with a very limited amount of people.
Sad.
Cam, your realistic girl is out there. I don't know where, but there's one for you, and if she's not on this show, it's 100% okay.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Somebody's gonna
be fine. Just walk away. It'll be fine. Just walk away.
So, yeah, just walk away, dude. You'll find it. So, as if real life does not exist, and then we go to commercial. Yeah, just I'm reminded that Mike is too thirsty, and this is why I was not a humongous fan on him. Just throughout the date, some more commercial again, and then we get back. Derek and Demi are making out. Will's is jealous. He is sweating. Absolutely
watching him. It's weird.
He's just watching like an owl vantage point, just like above them, like looking down. I'm like, do you
owl
have
vantage point?
Yeah, he's great. Like, whoo, like just spying down upon them at an angle, like a Batman angle. It's so fucking weird. I am the knight. It's creepy. So he's like sweating absolute balls talking to Katie, but it is hot there. Like, I imagine how hot it is in Texas. It's probably way hotter there. So like, and they
105
don't
today.
Yeah, and they don't have AC. So like, Wills says the exact same thing to every girl. Like, dude, if the exact same things aren't working, you should probably not say them anymore. Okay, so Katie's drunk and she stops Wills and she starts crying. She's drunk too, and I don't know if she's into him or not, but they like agree on how difficult the process can be. And I'm like, you know what? This is a realistic thing that would happen. Like, two of these people would probably be drunk and go and lament about this process to one another while everyone else is doing who knows what.
Yeah.
It's
pity party.
It's like summer camp. There's drama.
There's a little pity party.
It's a pity party. Yeah. And Blake pulls Hannah. And Dylan has had his day ruined again for another time. Everyone take a shot. Unless you're, like, driving or at work. Probably don't.
Then if you're driving, then pull over. If you're at work, then do it underneath the desk.
If you are driving and you pull over to drink, those are Super Mario. Those are Birio Kart rules. So you're playing real-life Birio Kart, and that's illegal. But either way.
We do not condone that.
We don't condone it. Okay, they know that. Blake pulls Hannah. Dylan's pissed. Hannah tells Blake that she thought he was going to talk to her more. And I'm like, girl, don't egg this boy on. She just wants the attention. It's fine. So Blake teaches Hannah some dance moves that he taught the other girls. And they all have a good chortle about it. Blake pulls Hannah into a kiss from like a little turn. And I'm just like, this is so, like, this is gross if he's doing this on, like, everybody. Like, he probably thinks this is so cool. And then, I don't know. It's just,
like, motherfucker.
It's
there.
Falling
look
apart for him on this show, though, because, like, four girls are like, he did that to you, too? Like, laughing.
Yeah.
So, Onyeka tells Dylan to stop looking, and he's like, I can't stop looking. So, one of the girls is stirring the pot. I think it's either Demi or, like, or Katie or something, or Sydney is like, hey, you should go over there. And someone's like, yes, Dylan, big energy when he walks over there.
That was definitely Demi. Demi was fucking egging
Demi
him on.
Demi was proud of him because he finally put his big man pants on.
Yep.
With his leather belt instead of the Velcro one. I'm so proud of him. So Demi is so excited to see this drama. She like puts her glasses on and grabs popcorn basically. Dylan tries to pull Blake aside and Blake is like, I just feel like I gave you all day, like today, and I was respectful.
There's a standoff for sure.
It's a standoff over a woman who should be able to be like, hey, how about both of you guys fuck off? Like, deal with this like grown-ass men. I'm going to leave and get drunk. So Blake is drunk. And that's why I wouldn't work on this show. So Blake is drunk and running out of breath easily. Hannah lets them bicker it out because, I mean, why not? She likes it. She liked Nicole like this standoff over her.
Yeah, she likes it.
Yes. There's tense music. In brackets, Blake is trying to pee all over Hannah like a Dachshund pees on a piano bench. That happened to a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Very smart. So they keep making out in the open, just like no fucks to give. Apparently, it is not known by anyone until tomorrow's episode that Blake and Hannah previously hung out in Alabama a week before Paradise. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know what, if they do that, it's fine, but it just changes things on the show. I think the first time it was really happening was like last year, but whatever. So yeah, tomorrow's episode, we get a shocking quote-unquote confrontation. I hope to see some good fighting techniques. I hope to see it go to the ground. The girls think that they find a six-toed footprint on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
They go around counting everyone's toes, and they are on the hunt for a six-toed bandit. I support this hunt. I will donate to PayPal to find this bandit.
Blake never took his shoes off.
Blake never took his shoes off, and I have a feeling it might be him. And you know what? If you have six toes, you better rock that shit. You better be in Marvel movies. Get paid. And Demi makes a quote. It's like, you've been banging everybody at Stagecoach, now you got six toes. Like you got cursed by a witch or something. And that's how part one and the preview wraps up.
Yep.
So we have part two included, and it will come up right after this short break. Okay. Hello, welcome back to part two. If you are still here, if you're gone, you don't know that we're talking about you. So we intro with everyone hanging out, and JPJ is literally taking a nap in the day pool.
That was great.
Demi and Derek start drifting apart as Demi reflects on her relationship back home with Mystery Lady. Demi tears up talking to Katie, talking about her girlfriend. And I'm like, aw. It was sweet. So she admits about being embarrassed about this side of herself, and she says she's scared. And I totally feel that because friends had the same talks with me, and then afterwards they're like, why was I afraid? So I think Katie was a really good person to have that conversation with because she kind of made Demi feel better.
Katie seems to be the one, the know-how. Everybody comes to Katie for their problems.
Yeah, she finally shed like the thing the producers were trying to give her to stand out. And she's being herself and she's just super real. She's like, no, go talk to him or like tell them how you feel or like whatever. So she's also like finding relationships for herself but being good advice for people. So
yeah, she's giving it to him real.
Yeah, Katie tells her to be scared but also be brave. I think that's good advice. And then we move on to the other people on the beach. Dylan is so daft, he thinks that Blake is what's standing between Hannah and Dylan when really Hannah has I don't know, Dylan, I don't know if you know what free will is called, but Hannah, like, has that. So she's, like, choosing to do those things. It's not, like, she's not being handcuffed or anything. So she's being fickle, but, like, still, that's her prerogative. It is what it is. So, like, nobody's mad at her for this. I'm certainly not mad at her for this.
It takes two to tango.
It takes two. Like, dude, Dylan, live a little. So people finally start finding out that Hannah and Blake met up before Paradise. I'm distracted by all of Tasia's outfits because they have been spectacular, like I said earlier. Hannah immediately gets defensive when Tasia confronts her, like anyone who is in their right mind would, instead of letting her just see this on TV later.
Well, yeah, she confronted her because she made her look like a liar.
Yeah, Yeah, she did. And, it was fucked up.
And then after she confronted her, Hannah's like, I feel like you're attacking me. And she's just like, she's not attacking her, she's not attacking you. Like, she's literally confronting you about, like, making her look like a liar.
She's telling you how you made her feel. Hannah just seems like that type of person. Like, I don't think Hannah probably got tough punishment at home either. She probably everything was just brushed over. And
this
so now
is all that we're shown, so.
Well, now she's internalizing a conversation as a confrontation.
Yes.
Which is bad, like. I hate when people are like that. So, yeah, she just seems like that type of person. She starts crying. See, like, I'm more mad at her for that than, like, the whole not only sticking around Dylan thing. That just shows how fair of a judge I am. So she starts crying, and then Tayshia calls Hannah out for playing the innocent card, and I agree. She's doing that. Dean shows up after the commercial with a new friend. It's his mustache. And he is a full-time roadman. I think that...
The highwayman.
Huh?
Highwayman.
Highwayman. He's a full-time highwayman.
He lives the van life.
He lives the van life. The sponsored Instagram hashtag van life.
I guess. I mean, is that what it is?
Yes, that's what it is. So before it was full-time van life, and again, this is not a knock against him, because if you had these platforms, take them. But he's so famous that places pay him to travel there as long as he mentions how it was and takes pictures there. So these Instagram influencers get to make these really high profile or these like out of the country places more accessible to their hundreds of thousands of followers.
Mm-hmm.
So he's traveling and doing that, and like, you know, that's kind of how that works. So with the van thing, he's probably just doing it in a different capacity, but still like getting sponsorships along the way, because that's an expensive life if you're just like, if your source of income comes from anywhere else other than the internet, I guess.
Yeah, that's
so that's kind of how that works basically. Okay. Which again, it's pretty cool because, like, you know, answering anybody really.
Yeah, but you live in a fucking van.
I mean, he kind of adjusts to it. Like he said, the showering situation is not something that troubles him too much. And he might just be nomadic. Like, I have some friends who that genuinely works for them. Like, the struggles they go through, like, I'm like, dude, I would just give up and move back home. And they're like, no, I love this shit. More power to him, buddy. Walks in, and Christina is surprised to see him. She's just like, what? Dean pulls aside Katie to talk to her. Kaylin is tired of...
Girls are for information.
Yeah, girls are for information. And Kaylin is tired of Christina, who apparently already told Blake... Christina already told Dean about the Blake, Kaylin, Christina, Hannah, and Tayshia thing. So Christina is doing this game dirty. Dean asks Kaylin on a date while she's right next to Mike, and his face drops, which is kind of funny. It's just so funny to see all these face drops. Like, I kind of want a compilation of them. Is that mean?
No, just like a compilation of like disappointment, mm-hmm. like in people's faces going, oh.
Yes, oh, yes. I love the disappointment. It's so good. So Mike talks to Sydney, and then apparently Chris and Katie are now a thing. Christina forgot that Cam was there, and then laughed even harder at her like own self forgetting that he was there. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Dean and Kaylin go on their date, and Dean feels remorseful for his behavior, and he's learned his lesson. So due to that grown up apology, I have forgiven him for his behaviors last year. He's learned his lesson, and I feel like other people probably learned their lesson from it too, so that's good. So Kaylin likes him. They make out in the pool. All is well with them. Back at the house, everyone is drunk and tired, and things are noticeably awkward between Demi and Derek. Tayshia and Demi have a talk, and they're like, what if you tell him and things don't work out? I'm like, well, then they don't work out.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
That's how it works. It's fine. So Demi and Jordan rag on the castmates together. Some guy named Christian comes in, and apparently he went home night one on Becca's season. He did not reach Grocery Store Joe fame, which would...
Wait, what?
Grocery Store Joe. Here, I'll show you this guy. Hold on one second.
All right.
So Grocery Store Joe came out of obscurity after he was sent home on night one of Becca's season. And then he went on to Bachelor in Paradise. And people really knew who this guy was. Like, they were mad at this girl for sending him home. And that's who Grocery Store Joe is.
So why is he called Grocery Store Joe?
Because he was running a grocery store before he went on the show.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and it had a ring. Has a ring to it.
It looks like Ron Livingston from Office Space.
Oh, my gosh, he kind of does, right? Yeah, he looks like a famous 90s star. Yeah. So that's who Grocery Store Joe is. Everyone I was just showing my husband. So it is really cool to get to explain who these people are for the first time to someone, too. It's really awesome. And this would explain why I have no clue who the fuck Christian is, because he did not reach that status. Grocery Store Joe also went on Dancing with the Stars. So the fame, it just went on.
Wow.
And it was unbridled.
Good for him.
Good for him. So we get a flashback of Christian wearing loafers with no socks and stating that he is a premier banker on the Men Tell All after Becca's season. And that's when Jordan pulled that famous, like, who are you, quote, because, yeah, we didn't know who he is.
Those things were higher than Tyler jeans.
They were. So Tyler is absolved for his jeans because Christian's were worse. Christian pulls Nicole away. Clay gets grumpy, like the big baby that he is. Christian asks Nicole out on the date, and she agrees to go. Nicole and Christian hit it off. Clay and Christian don't hit it off. So Nicole and Christian hit it off, and Clay is salty in the background. And Nicole calls out how passive Clay is. I agree. Christian and Clay have an argument, and Nicole really likes the attention. On the other side of the beach, Demi comes out to Derek. He's super understanding and supportive.
Yeah, his expression was after she said that she used to date a woman. Mm-hmm. He literally said, okay.
Yeah. He's really good about that. The podcast that he's on, like, he and his co-host Kay are very, like, understanding and very open and, like, supporters of the LGBTQ community. So I'm glad that the show is giving Demi, like, space and time to talk about this appropriately. Derek's understanding and supportive, as anyone should be. And then we move on to Chris and Katie. They have a connection. And then I'm in the kitchen for a brief moment, and I hear whimsical music. And before Wyatt even says anything, I'm like, okay, John Paul Jones is on the screen. And
I screamed JPJ.
You screamed it. Yeah, but before that, I was like, that has to be some JPJ music. So he's the first Bachelor or Bachelorette contestant I have ever seen smoke weed on camera. And it was pretty hilarious / awesome.
Yeah, he had the giant, like, throw pillows on the beach bed thing.
Just,
like,
blocking half of his face.
Yeah, just on top of him. And he's, like, sitting there smoking. And, who was it that came over?
Oh, it was a guy and girl. It was somebody.
Somebody came over to sit next to him.
I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, that was great.
Anyways, yeah, he's smoking and reciting Shakespeare.
Reading. She's remember. Yeah, he's reciting Shakespeare to
memorize.
He's memorizing it to recite to Tayshia. And this is so cool. Like, he's just getting high and, like, reciting Shakespeare to a pretty woman on the beach. And Tayshia is, like, fucking loving this.
He pulls her side.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the coolest things to happen on the show in general. Like, this was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That resonated with me.
It did. It hit deep. That was some cool shit. I think John Paul Jones is definitely, like, Seth Rogen's long-lost little brother, because their laugh is similar, and they kind of look very vaguely alike.
He was described as a hotter Heath Ledger.
Oh my gosh, he does look like him. Yeah, I see that.
I can see the smile and the laugh of Seth Rogen in there. I see what you're talking about.
Heath and Seth morphed into one person. That is JPJ.
Yeah.
For sure. So that was pretty smooth. That was better than every episode of the show the whole year. I don't care what anybody says. So John Paul Jones has definitely secured his rose.
We are
proud of him. Good for him. We want him to stay forever and become the new Chris Bukowski.
What? No.
No, I'm just kidding.
God, no. I don't wish that on anybody.
But we do want him to stay forever. So
that is a burden that Chris holds alone on his shoulders.
Then there's a fake RAR soundbite in the preview of the supposed fight that happens, which I'm excited about because I love fights and tea. Christian is setting up a piñata, and salty ass Blake is like, I wonder if it's full of Viagra and condoms. Where did that come from?
I don't know. That sounds made up.
Well, it was probably because of Christian's outfit. He had on Gucci slides, I think, and then
Walmart shirt.
It was
and koi fish
and
on
here's
it.
The thing, we don't mean anything by Walmart shirt. It was just the printing on it was so
everybody knows that print.
Everyone knows
whenever
that
you
print.
Say that Walmart shirt, everybody knows
we
what type
adore
of print
Wal-
we're talking
we will
about.
We love Walmart, okay, but yes, you guys know just a Walmart print shirt. So yeah. Nicole is observing how Clay and Christian interact when Clay gets the balls to cut in. He's growing tough over there with his peanut gallery, and they're like, you should go. We want blood.
Oh,
we
want
carnage. We want destruction. Like, they're going. They're on. So bored. All they have to do is get drunk and make out with each other. They want the bloodshed now.
Fucking Lord of the Flies.
They're over the lust. They want the bloodshed. Yes, this is a co-ed Lord of the Flies with adults. And Nicole is just observing this with wide eyes, and then Clay talks to her, and he's moved on from, like, asking Christian if this is okay, and Nicole says she doesn't know what to do, and she is torn. And I'm like, why do none of these women know what to do? It seems like a common thing. And I know a lot of people bring up their ages, and I'm thinking, like, you know, when I was, like, 23, 24, I was a little bit like this, so I can't be like super hard on them. I think it's something they might grow out of, but I've noticed a lot of them just can't, like, they can't just put their foot down. Tayshia, yes, but like a lot of them are not that great at it.
Yeah, they need to hold their hand.
They have a lot of hand holding. They want to have the decisions made for them. Like, the way these guys talk about them too is also very worrisome to me. It's like, I gave her to you all day. I shared her with you all day. I gave you time with her
it's
all
like a
day.
Toy.
They're like toys. So that's bothersome, but it is what it is. I'm still watching the show, so I mean, I'm supporting it.
There's never been like a point where. Well, there has been, I think, but I mean, this is just from what I've seen, at least from just this last Bachelorette and this. Because there's never been a point where somebody's been like, they've asked the girl, can I please talk to you for a moment? Mm-hmm. And then if like the guy says anything, they don't ever say, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to her.
Yeah.
They're never just like straightforward. It's always like, you had her all day. You had it. And it's like, I gave you all this and you had
they
her.
They think the
like
girls like that shit. When I would be like, hey, can you guys like talk to each other or talk to me or like, can we figure out what's going on? Because this is some immature.
Yeah.
This is some baby shit.
Yeah.
Mm. And Clay talks to Nicole and she just kind of, you know, shuts down. He respectfully backs away and lets Christian stand his Gucci ass ground. And Jordan just wants to see some drama so bad.
Oh, he's the pot stirrer.
He's the pot stirrer. So
he's the fast talking pot stirring.
We find
crew cut
out
head man
with his little short shorts. Well, actually, they're not really short shorts. They're like Bermuda shorts for men.
Yeah, whatever.
Classic. So we see that Jordan goes over to do what Clay could not. He takes down the pinata. He analyzes himself into Christian and Clay's fight. Takes down the pinata. Christian is pissed. And then
tries to stop him.
He tries to stop him. And we see some glorious like
struggle.
We see some struggle. And then Jordan gets behind Christian. And my immediate mind, we've briefly mentioned this. We both train martial arts. So my immediate thought is like, yes, I hope he hip tosses him. What people need to realize is John Paul Jones is doing Paradise the right way.
Right.
This is his vacation. This is a paid vacation for him. Him reciting the poem to Tayshia and winning her over was also very cute. It was super,
super
sincere.
Cute. Yeah.
And then my third highlight of the night is the hip toss at the end of the episode. I hope they continue to fight more, and I hope that Christian goes home.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any highlights of this episode?
Yeah, besides JPJ like sitting there smoking and trying to memorize, well, not trying, he successfully memorized Shakespearean quote,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, it's something else that somebody has written.
But that takes skill.
Yeah, but still, it's better than what anything anybody, you know, guy has ever fucking said.
It's way more substantial. Yeah. Like, that's really cool, especially just like when I read those books in high school, there is a lot of scripting. And so if somebody's that interested in it, that they kind of memorize it in their free time, like, that's pretty cool. People could be doing so many worse things.
True.
So I think that is a really cool hobby, and I hope more people get into non-superficial hobbies like that, but if they don't, it's fine too.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any other highlights?
I wanted to ask your opinion on predictions.
Predictions. So I think as far as the guys who will go home, I said it at the end of Hannah's season or at last episode. Cam is going to go home, guys.
Yes.
Like, I don't...
Please.
Seriously, I'm feeling it. If I had odds to bet, if I had money to put on this, Cam is going home. As far as number two and number three who were going home, my predictions are Cam, of course, Christian... And then, oh my gosh, I'm not sure. I think Wills will go home. I think Cam, yeah. Christian, and Wills will go home.
For sure. There's one more, though. Four people.
Oh, there's four. That's right. Dang. I don't know. That's a good point. Who could be the fourth? Who is the fourth?
Kevin,
perhaps. Kevin.
He hasn't done anything.
Kevin hasn't done anything.
Nobody's... hooked up with him or anything, I don't think.
No. Okay, so we're tracking down our predictions. Cam.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Will. Wills. And...
We
would like Christian to go home with his stupid shoes. Okay. I'm not saying Gucci's stupid. It just looked bad on him. That's all I have to say. I think that this episode and this set of episodes were actually really good, and they got to the point, unlike The Bachelorette, which just dragged on.
Yeah.
Because all the drama was one-sided. I like Bachelor in Paradise because it's a lot of different people's shit going on, and it doesn't feel so one-sided and one-dimensional. It's just like... it's like a sitcom reality show. I don't know.
No, it's definitely that. I mean, they've definitely manufactured like a lot of like things about like even like having people come on the show that other people had relationships with and everything. They have fine tuned this thing.
They love this shit.
But at the same time, my experience to this so far is that this is definitely Bachelorette on crack. It is
very much. It's pumped up. That's why some people only watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette to see who's going to be on Paradise.
Okay.
Yeah. And some people only watch Paradise. So it has its own culture to it that's very different from like the seasons do, I would say.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining us for another double night of episodes. I know these nights are kind of tough and they're wearing down on everybody, but we are almost through with these double two-hour episodes. And we look forward to seeing who...
Comes out on top
and goes home alone. And we will be here next week to talk about it again.
Yep.
All right. Well, hope you guys have a good week. And
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye bye. Bye.